Open House this week will feature guest hosts from the South Mountain Partnership. The South Mountain Partnership is a collaborative network of people and organizations protecting and promoting the agricultural, natural, cultural, and recreational resources of Adams, Cumberland, Franklin, and York counties. Over time, we have transformed into an alliance of citizens, businesses, nonprofits, colleges and universities, and government agencies all working together because we love the place that we call home. Our work can only move forward with the help of our partners, and today we want to highlight the important work they are doing in the region. We hope you will join us. Click the link below or scan the QR code to learn more about our State of the Region project.
All right, hello everybody. Welcome to Open House, a program celebrating great people doing great things in the community. I'm Julia Chain from the South Mountain Partnership, and I'm really excited to introduce you to my guest, Dr. Alan Dietrich Ward.
Hi, Julia.
Alan is the graduate school director at the Shippensburg University, and he's also a board member of the Cumberland Valley Rails Trails to Trails Council. So you've got a lot to share with us with those two roles.
As you know, it's not getting me to talk that's the trick, right? So happy to talk.
Well, thank you. So the South Mountain Partnership is a conservation network made up of partners. And so we work with folks from educational institutions, nonprofits, planning directors, the whole gamut. And so that's one of the things that I love about this work and is so special. And so your work in both of your capacities really impacts the South Mountain Partnership. So I'm so glad to have you here today. Please tell me about yourself.
Sure.
And either or both of those organizations.
Absolutely. So lovely to see you, Julia. I have been here in the South Mountain region since 2006. I've actually been a partner with the South Mountain Partnership almost since its very beginning. Back in 2009, I believe, I showed up at a meeting and was tapped to chair the South Mountain Speaker Series when it first began. So I had a really great interactions with a lot of folks with the South Mountain Partnership, our good friends at DCNR, of course, and really had an absolutely positive and fantastic relationship with the partnership. I've gotten to see it evolve over the years, from sort of its origins as a CLI to its kind of a nonprofit status, having a staff, all of those things that really make an organization work. And I think that the growth of the South Mountain Partnership is a real testament to the real need in our community that it serves for bringing together folks from the nonprofit sector, as you say, universities, and the business community, really on that basis of celebrating the cultural and natural resources of our region.
Absolutely. So the Cumberland Valley Rails to Trails Council, mm-hmm. Where's the Cumberland Valley Rail Trail? What do you do?
Sure. So the Cumberland Valley Rail Trail Council is actually one of the oldest rail trail organizations in the state. It's been around for more than 25 years now, really since the early 1990s. And shortly after it was created, its creation was really about taking advantage of the strong tradition of railroading that we have here in the Cumberland Valley. We have some of the very oldest railroads in the country here in central Pennsylvania, including the Cumberland Valley Railroad. In the mid-1990s, Conrail, which was a government-created corporation that was designed to take over and sort of reinvigorate the railroad industry, decided to consolidate some of its routes, close down some of the lines that had been competing with each other, and in doing so, made that route between Carlisle and Shippensburg, the very original Cumberland Valley Railroad route, available for a rail-to-trail. And the first portion of the route, which went from just outside of Shippensburg to just this side of Newville, opened in 2005. And so it's even in
is 20 old,
years
yeah.
old, yes. And then after it opened, the board members of the Cumberland Valley Rails to Trails Council, an all-volunteer organization, I should note, really turned their sights to other portions of the route. And so over the years, particularly since 2015, the council has been adding other portions, a portion just outside of Carlisle, connecting into Carlisle, a portion of the route that goes through Newville past Big Spring High School, and then the portion of the route that I focus on most directly coming into downtown Shippensburg, and then, of course, the new trailhead that we call Shippensburg Station.
And how did you get involved?
Well, I'm a professional historian, academic, and my focus is on urban and environmental history, and I particularly focus on Pittsburgh. My first book was on Pittsburgh, came out in the fall of 2015, and if you know anything about Pittsburgh, the Rails to Trails movement has really had a major impact in sort of remaking what kind of the significance and meaning of Pittsburgh is.
Right.
And so in the course of my research on my first book, Beyond Rust, I spent a lot of time thinking about Rails to Trails and sort of their ability to recreate community connections, really, that had been severed over the years. And so after I got my book finished, I was kind of looking around and thinking about how I might go about taking some of the lessons that I learned from the research that I had done in that book and seeing if I could actually apply them to real life. And so I wandered into a Rail Trail Council meeting in the fall of 2016. It just happened to be the annual members meeting, and I somehow managed to walk out kind of being on the board. It wasn't something I intended, but it's one of those you open up your mouth at the wrong time and someone says, well, what do you want to do about it? And so,
well, you've done a lot about
it. Well, so. I've joined from then. Yeah. So the Cumberland Valley Rails to Trails Council, it is really an awesome organization to be a part of. And my contribution has really been to think about not just the trail as a recreational asset, which it absolutely is, but to think about it sort of more particularly as a community development asset. And that's really where I love riding the trail as much as anybody else does, but my real interest is in thinking about how do we use these sort of abandoned and forgotten community assets, things that once were the heart of the community that have been kind of pushed aside. How do we go about thinking about how to, adapt, what we call adaptively reuse those things so that they can perform a community function again?
Yeah, and tell me more about that. Like, how have you seen the rail trail change the communities that it intersects?
Yeah, so when the trail was first built, because there were basically bridges that were out on either side of the route, it couldn't at that moment really extend into the downtown areas, right? And so when I joined the Rail Trail Council, I happened to join right at the moment when, through the work of a lot of really awesome volunteers, the bridges that had been taken out in the 1990s were being rebuilt.
Yeah.
And so in the spring of 2017, these new bridges were put in, both on the Newville side and on the Shippensburg side, that allowed the trails to extend into the downtown community. And I knew from my own background that that could be a game changer, right? That putting the trail in a place where people didn't have to drive to it, that folks who may have lived in Shippensburg all their lives and didn't even know there was a rail trail there, suddenly it's right in front of them.
Right.
And so I really saw that as an opportunity to begin really thinking about using that trail for community development beyond recreation. And so I started looking around, because I'm a historian, I started looking around and saying, okay, there's really not much on this trail that talks about the history of the trail. I mean, there are kind of wayside markers, but there isn't anything kind of left of the railroad.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started looking around to see if I could find anything. And lo and behold, a friend of a friend mentioned this old railroad car.
It's a pretty large thing to find.
It is, yeah. That was kind of well-known in the railroading community, but that no one else knew anything about. And in February 2017, I got this email saying, oh, there's this rail car. And the rail car was actually, believe it or not, on Rail Trail Council property. It was on our property, but it was buried in the woods. And so when no one knew about it, none of us knew about it. And that really began the saga of thinking about how we can take this old, abandoned, rusted, forgotten rail car and, like the trail itself, instead of turning our back to it, turning our front to it. And so that began the project that lasted from 2017 till really through the present, but particularly through last year, where we got our first rail car, and then our second rail car, and then our third rail car, and not just put them as kind of big paperweights to look at, but actually transform them into a living railroad history museum.
And if someone wanted to come and see this, how can they do that?
All day, every day. Yep, 51 Fort Street in Shippensburg, at Shippensburg Station, at the Shippensburg Station Trailhead. But if you're gonna come, my big recommendation is to come on the first Friday of a month from April to October, where we have our annual ship, our monthly Ship First Fridays. We have food trucks, we have a beer garden, we have live music from local musicians, and you can come and check out the museums, you can hang out with folks in the community. The real beautiful thing about the trail is that it is literally right in between downtown and Shippensburg University, where I work. In fact, Shippensburg University was built originally in 1871 where it is because it had easy railroad access, mm-hmm. right? But the thing that had brought the community, brought the railroad, the university, and the community together, the railroad, with the railroad not running anymore, it sort of pushed them apart. Now we have an opportunity to kind of pull them back together.
And pull that town-to-gown relationship.
Yeah, that's right.
So what's new? What are you working on next?
Well, we have a couple of projects that we're working on. So in addition to working on extending the trail from Newville to Carlisle, which we've been actively doing for the past 10 years or so, we also are now turning our sights to potentially building rails with trails along the old Western Maryland Railroad line between Shippensburg and Chambersburg.
Okay.
So we have that project that is a partnership between the Cumberland Valley Rails and Trails Council and the Franklin County Commissioners and Planning Department. We're also looking kind of in Shippensburg itself at the ways in which we can use biking and pedestrian as a better mechanism for community engagement, right? How do we go about making it a more pleasurable experience and more convenient and a safer experience for people to be able to get out of their cars or never get in their car in the first place and be able to walk around and engage with downtown. So we have another project in addition to that kind of extension through town toward Chambersburg. We have another project that we actually just built the first piece of trail on a couple of weeks ago that is going to run along Middle Spring Creek from the Shippensburg Station Trailhead to a new library square in downtown Shippensburg, which we're very, very excited about. We will have an outdoor stage there for performances. It's going to be really great. And then we're also working, as I said, on improving the bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure between the trail and downtown. Yeah. So when we think about sort of the different scales, if you will, of the rail trail being used for community development, we have this kind of local scale, we have the regional scale, eventually connecting Carlisle to Chambersburg, maybe Harrisburg to Hagerstown.
Yeah.
And then we have a truly national scale. The Cumberland Valley Rail Trail is one piece of this broader national 9/11 Memorial Trail, national trail, that runs throughout Pennsylvania and New York State and down to Washington, D.C. So we've actually been really active in working with those folks. In fact, the National Park Service just partnered with us to build a new community pavilion at Shippensburg Station that we just finished a couple weeks ago.
That's amazing. And I know how partnership is really key to the work that you do.
It is.
And you've also supported a new initiative and lent some of your wisdom to the South Mountain Trolley Greenway well. So that's in Mechanicsburg?
That's right. Yeah, and what's I think exciting about that is that, I'm a historian, so forgive me, but in the 1950s and 1960s, the real focus of kind of broader recreation planning was on building a state park within 25 miles of every Pennsylvania, that famous kind of Maurice Goddard statement. Well, as times have evolved, it's become clearer and clearer that if we want to have a kind of a true recreational system that benefits all Pennsylvanians, then we can't just focus on how people can drive to those parks, those kind of big preserves, but rather instead, how can we have a park within a 10-minute walk of every Pennsylvanian? And so rather than focusing just on kind of new infrastructure, I think the real impulse these days is focusing on connecting things together, right? And so the South Mountain Trolley Greenway, which is now part of the Cumberland Valley Rail Trail kind of umbrella, is a great example of that. You know, here is a trail that connects multiple different communities together.
And where is that? Is that in the same geography as the
it
rail
is,
trail,
yeah.
or is it
it's
slightly
a,
different?
It's a little, it's a, it, it had originally connected to the Cumberland Valley Rail Trail, but a bit farther north and east, closer to Harrisburg, right?
Okay, super, yeah.
So, but it opens up a number of different possibilities for us. You know, if we have a system of trails kind of in northern and eastern Cumberland County and in western York County, we have this system of trails, you know, in western and central Cumberland County and into Franklin County. How do we go about putting the pieces back together?
Right.
We know that it can be done because the railroads did it, right?
And
so for us, it becomes really about how do we go about looking at all of these community assets and finding a way to kind of pull people together, particularly in a way that is socially and environmentally just, and that also looks at kind of the bigger picture issues of climate change, of sustainability, and thinks about how do we go about creating the recreation, the transportation plan, the community plans for the future.
Well, that is right on line with what the work that we're trying to accomplish as a partnership. So the South Mountain Partnership, in conjunction with groups like the Cumberland Valley Rail Trail and our planning directors, just released a State of the Region report that has three aspects, and I really want to dig into the third with you. But the first was a report card measuring our health. The second are some interactive maps. But the third are these action projects
that
we see that we can take in the community to try to improve some of the factors that you were just talking about. And one of them is creating a regional trail system, or at least visioning one.
Yep.
And so it sounds to me like the Cumberland Valley Rail Trail is excited about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we, as the report notes, we really see the Cumberland Valley Rail Trail as the backbone of this regional trail system.
Yeah.
Now, I should note, we are going to have to be creative, right? Yeah. Because so much of our existing trail system is based upon abandoned railroad lines. Well, there are only so many abandoned railroad lines out there.
Right.
And if we're thinking about environmental sustainability, the railroads are some of the most efficient, both in terms of cost and in terms of carbon emissions transportation that we can have.
Right.
The more railroads run, the fewer trucks are on the road. And so we don't want to have to think about a decline in the railroad industry for us to be able to do the kinds of trails that were most important. So we really need to begin looking at other kinds of infrastructure, highways, the turnpike, other you know, other kind of large infrastructure that that can be repurposed, that can be adapted, that can be expanded to accommodate not just automobile traffic, but the other kinds of you know, the other kinds of transportation that people are really using. One of the things that I think has been most exciting is the expansion of battery-powered e-bikes. More and more folks, not just, but particularly folks who are getting a bit older, who may be intimidated by a 10 or 15 mile bike ride. If you can get that little bit extra of having a battery-powered e-bike to give that little bit of extra comfort, that a little bit extra juice, so to speak, it really makes everything we're doing more and more accessible. And that has proven particularly true after kind of the social distancing that we had during COVID. These rails to trails really and other community assets really became the new community centers of many of our communities. Folks discovered them often for the first time, and that increased use has not diminished. It has continued right along.
Absolutely, and all of those opportunities sound like a way to bring mental health and physical health and your safety while riding your bike or walking into the spotlight. So that's pretty cool that you're looking at it so holistically. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm gonna ask you to change hats for a second.
Sure.
And one of our other State of the Region implementation projects is to begin to inventory our historic resources across the South Mountain.
Because that's
we know that we are living in a place that is so significant in many different periods of history.
For hundreds and hundreds of years.
Yes, exactly, and thousands probably.
Right.
And so we want to better understand what resources are here so that we can work proactively to protect them. And I'm curious, from your perspective as a history professional, where are we with resources? How much do we know? How much is sure. there still to find?
Well, I'm going to encourage you, even as I answer, to have my really good friend and colleague, Dr. Steve Berg, my colleague at Shippensburg on, because he was one of the key participants in developing the inventory for South Mountain, and is an expert on many things, including some of our historic African American cemeteries, which are a really important component of the landscape here in South Mountain. This was an incredibly important area for African American, all the way continuing through to today, but you know, certainly dating back through the colonial era, when you had many people of color living and working throughout the region.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit tricky because on the one hand, there are, again, as you note, thousands of years worth of culturally significant sites throughout the region. We do, I think, tend to focus, we have historically tended to focus in on kind of a relatively narrow range of them, right?
Yeah.
The Civil War, right?
George Washington slept
that's
here.
That's right. From my perspective, and I'm an industrial historian, I think that we could do a better job on looking at in our industrial past. We do, of course, have some industrial sites, right? Like famously Pine Grove Furnace,
yeah.
you know, Caledonia Furnace. But there are a lot of others whose stories really need to still be told. Where you have opportunities, I think, for helping our residents to better understand why the things are the way that they are today, right? Another, I think, really important area for us to focus our cultural resource coming out of the inventory, but then also for future work, is on kind of the untold stories of our history. Oftentimes, those involve marginalized people right? Not the George Washingtons, not the Thaddeus Stevenses, right? But the folks who really supported and developed the Industrial Revolution in our country that was so, so important here to South Central Pennsylvania. I think our farming resources are actually another area. You know, there are some of our farming history, I think, that has been fairly well documented. But aside from just a very few sites, you know, Renfrew, you know, Farm and Museum is one of them. There isn't a whole lot of real active management of those kinds of historical sites, in part because those sites are often still in active use, right?
Exactly.
They're still in active use. We do see, though, I think, an opportunity, or I see an opportunity, I think, to combine those two things. We don't think about this, right? But while slavery, you know, the enslavement of people of African descent, you know, dropped off substantially, never fully, but substantially in the early decades of the 19th century, indentured farming, right, wage workers or farm workers were actually a really important part of the Cumberland Valley's agricultural heritage. You can still see some remnants of those kinds of sort of what kind of the ancestors of the migrant farming infrastructure that we see today. These are poor, oftentimes immigrant folks who were working on other people's farms, oftentimes very grueling hours for not a whole heck of a lot of wealth. And that kind of history, I think, has not been effectively told. It's certainly not outside of academic circles. And so I think that that's an area for us where we could look at what are some of the social areas of need today that we could then look into the past and say kind of here are parallels to those situations in the past that can help us better understand the present.
Absolutely. Well, and I know that something that the Cumberland Valley really helped incubate is conservation. And
That's
so
right.
I understand that you've recently published a book.
I
wanted to be sure to share it with everybody today. Yes. Called
Hot off the press.
Hot off the press. Called The Cradle of Conservation. And I've heard that phrase in reference to the Michaux State Forest. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about your book and what you learned.
Well, the cover image itself is from the South Mountain, from South Mountain. Mountain. That's Dr. Joseph Rothrock, who is considered the father of Pennsylvania forestry. He was a contemporary of Gifford Pinchot, who gets a lot more national attention. But if we look within Pennsylvania itself, certainly kind of from the 1890s through 1920 or so, Pinchot wasn't really doing that much in Pennsylvania. Yeah. It was folks like Joseph Rothrock, folks like Myra Lloyd Dock, who is the mother of Pennsylvania forestry, you know, a longtime Harrisburg resident, who was one of the founders of the Mont Alto School of Forestry, now Penn State Mont Alto, and the first woman to serve in any capacity in state government in Pennsylvania, and the first woman in the world to be on a state forestry commission, right? So we have this really amazing history in Pennsylvania of the origins of conservation and then of environmentalism later on. That have a particular resonance here in the Cumberland Valley. Because of the nature of the Cumberland Valley as being kind of this fertile agricultural area, but also having this mountainous terrain, right, that had been, a lot of charcoal plantations for iron furnaces, right? But then also, of course, being close enough to Harrisburg that it was sort of easy to get those state officials down into the into the woods to see. The Cumberland Valley has always been very, and South Mountain has been very closely associated with the history of conservation in the state of Pennsylvania and nationally as well.
Yeah, and the relationship between the industry and then the conservation is really interesting.
It is, yeah. What's actually interesting in many ways for the Cumberland Valley is, we often think of kind of the devastation of kind of clear-cutting forests that happens a little later than most of the, most of the kind of wood cutting that happened here in the Cumberland Valley, because much of that wood was used for charcoal furnaces, right? For iron furnaces, which had been supplanted by coal by the time the conservation movement really emerges. And what you actually see, in kind of somewhat ironically, is that the conservation within those charcoal plantations of needing to make sure that you had wood for, a long period to create that charcoal, many of those charcoal plantations actually still then had, second, third growth woods, but those then became the blueprint and then the focus of these very first state forests.
Right.
What became the Michaux State Forest was made up of the Pine Grove region, the Mont Alto region, and then, of course, becoming in consolidation into the Michaux State Forest.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so both Shippensburg University and the Cumberland Valley Rail Trail are beloved partners of the South Mountain Partnership. Curious, from your perspective, what's being a partner like for you, and what benefits do you see of being a part of our network?
I will say two things. Some of the folks that I have met with and worked with through the South Mountain Partnership have been, many of them have become dear friends. I mean, these are folks who are committed to this area, whether they are transplants like me or whether they are go back generations and generations, they are folks who want to see this area thrive and to continue to thrive in a way that is open for new people, right? Mm-hmm. Is engaging, is future and forward looking, but one that is also absolutely determined not to lose those best aspects of what makes this region special, right? And so that's one of the key things. The other, I think, is in making those relationships, in making those friends, I have formed networks of partners for a whole host of other kinds of projects, right? Whether they are from my academic work, whether they are friends to call up on a Friday afternoon to take a bike ride on the Cumberland Valley Rail Trail, the networking opportunities that allow me as an academic to see the work that I am doing kind of in the classroom actually manifest in a better environment, a better region, a better way of life for all of us, being able to sort of, in terms of practical, pragmatic approaches, these are folks who may not be the loudest ones in the room, but they're the ones who leave that room and get things done when the meeting's over. And that is what I really love about the partnership.
Well, thank you. I'll put that right back on you. I think you're the one that's getting the things done after the meeting, and knowing you and seeing your work, I think has been a real joy for us to support. And I really appreciate you taking time to come.
I appreciate that, Julia.
and share this with us. And I wish you the best in your next phase here, both on the trail, promoting the book. You've got an exciting next year or so, I think, of projects coming together.
Thank you. I love working with the partnership. I love working with you in particular. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to seeing what the next year brings.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been Open House.